Welcome to The Natural View. I'm Maggie Jaqua. I'm the content director of Whole Foods Magazine, and I'm here with my co-host, Todd Pollitt, 24 Stories Marketing. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Maggie. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. So today we are sitting down with Augustina Rigonte. She's the Protective Health Strategy Lead at Novozymes One Health, and we're going to learn more about postbiotics, some exciting new developments related to digestive health, and some branded ingredient science. So let's dive in. Let's start at the beginning. What are postbiotics and how do they differ from the more familiar probiotics and prebiotics?
Sure, nice question. So postbiotics don't have an official definition such as probiotics do, but we use the definition proposed by ISAP, which is the International Scientific Association for Pro and Prebiotics. And in 2021, they agreed and proposed a definition for postbiotics that is basically preparations of inanimate microorganisms that confer a health benefit to the host. So in other words, non-viable microbes that provide a health benefit to the host, and as opposed to probiotics that are live microorganisms that also confer a health benefit to the host. And then prebiotics are substrates, that is substances. And these substances, they are selectively utilized by host microorganisms that confer health benefit to the host. So prebiotics that you might know are, for example, FOS, GOS, HMOs, and other emerging new ones like beta-glucans as well.
Right. You know, we've seen an increase in people trying to protect their health through natural and holistic solutions, right? And I'm just wondering, what do you think has caused the growth of that sector?
Well, actually, consumers were already in a journey towards preventative health, but COVID pandemic really accelerated that journey, where we all become aware that it's better to stay healthy than to have to deal with health issues or health concerns. So we were aware of it, and we became more aware during the pandemic of maintaining good health and embracing these holistic health practices. Consumers also became more able to self-educate, and they seek information and products that are supporting this integrated approach on health that is not only immunity, but also mental health, emotional health, environmental well-being, anything that goes beyond traditional healthcare as a kind of sick care, if you wish. And then on top of the pandemic, and with this access we have to information, life stages, aging conditions drive individuals to be more conscious of their health, and also the value in maintaining it. So they research and they search for ingredients and products associated to health benefits, and they actually also find this claim or health benefits when they are claimed really valuable, but they also seek for value for money, and they are more seeking for ethically sourced products, eco-friendly ingredients. So in a way, the pandemic was a way to boost an awareness that was already there in relation to the link in between the gut and health. So this considering the gut as having a pivotal role in our health, and also help drive individuals to address immunity, brain health, and cardiometabolic health more through dietary changes and not only through traditional medicine. So another important driver is the increase in healthcare costs for us individuals and for the governments as well in general. And these also drove attention to, seeking for or being health conscious. And these health conscious lifestyles also drove attention to supplements more than ever in the past.
Great. So are there any significant shifts in trends that you've noticed over these years?
Yes. So actually, the trend we found, or I find very, very interesting, is and key to our times and to rethink our industry, is the power of consumer in driving innovation. So like, if you think 20 years ago, gastrointestinal health was often regarded only to, you know, to the gut health, and it was more a taboo. And now consumers perceive the gut as the center or a very important pivotal role in an overall well-being. And so there is a growing emphasis in optimizing the microbiome to proactively reduce the likelihood of health issues. And this idea around the integrated approach to wellness in the market it's actually pushed and driven by consumers. So it's very interesting the power that consumers have right now in driving innovation in the industry. And this is especially because we are living in this hyper-connected society, but we are also very much empowered by this digital age because we know more, we can research more, but we also know more about ourselves. If you, for example, have wearables, that you know more about your health than ever. This is really, really driving, let's say, pressure on innovation in the health sector, but I think that never happened in the past. So for me, that's the more interesting or significant shift in trends that we notice and we're actually working on.
Yeah, I think that trend is fascinating because if you think back, like you said, 20 years ago, you know, speaking for me personally, it seemed like I had one source of health information, and that was probably my physician during a yearly checkup, you know, without doing too much work. And now we have all this information at our fingertips. And I'm wondering, as gut health has become so prevalent in terms of conversation we've had and product development, what are you seeing some of the symptoms or some of the, you know, issues people are having?
Well, in general, you know, what we see is that we are not anymore comfortable with just, you know, getting a diagnosis or a reply that it is how it is and there's nothing we can do about it. And there's so much knowledge spread around the gut health, but especially this knowledge about bacteria in our stomach, bacteria in our gut that also now is spreading to bacteria in the stomach. So we as consumers know now that if we have certain symptoms and they stay for a long time, then they could be associated to maybe a dysregulation or bacterial colonization that shouldn't be that way, or a this balance in between in bacterial colonization. So for example, we're very much advanced, or we know a lot about a special bacteria in the gut that is causing symptoms that are associated to a lot of various digestive issues. That's called H. pylori. That's a bacterium that half of us carry in our stomach, and the symptoms of a mild colonization of this bacterium are frequent heartburn, digestive issues, those symptoms that in the past we thought were just because we're not eating properly might be associated with other root causes. So all in all, I think we are more aware that the root cause of a symptom is not straightforward only because of something we are doing wrong, might be due to an imbalance that we have internally.
Interesting. And so postbiotics can play a role here, right? So how do postbiotics relate to H. pylori and the management of that?
There's a lot of research on biotics. So that's, and that can lead to talk about postbiotics because actually, you know, there are a lot of biotics, there are probiotics and postbiotics that have different modes of action against H. pylori. And then postbiotic have the benefit of being inanimated and then having longer shelf life and so on.
So let's talk about biotics. Can you talk about the potential role in H. pylori and these gut issues that you were talking about?
Sure. So there are several studies on pro and postbiotics concerning H. pylori management, and they mainly focus in whether to understand whether the addition of biotics can enhance the management of H. pylori load, and whether the addition of biotics can minimize the incidence of H. pylori managed. On the H. pylori management therapy associated side effects, and whether the addition of biotics can promote the restitution of the microecological imbalance that was caused by the therapy. And in general, findings are that there are three potential mechanisms of action that biotics can deliver manage, in which biotics can manage H. pylori load. Firstly, biotics may enhance the barrier function, the natural barrier function. So because the gastric acid and the gastric mucosa barrier are the first line of defense against microorganisms we have in the stomach. The other way is that they can contribute to control the growth of harmful microorganisms by releasing substances with protective properties, such as, for example, lactic acid or short-chain fatty acids, and then they can control colonization. And the third way is by interfering with H. pylori colonization, either by competing for addition sites or interfering with that addition to the stomach lining or co-aggregating with H. pylori to promote its excretion. And that leads to the postbiotic. We research that works by promoting the excretion of co-aggregating and promoting the excretion of H. pylori.
Got it. Let's focus in a little more specifically on some of the, you know, one of the challenges that we've seen over the past years, and that is antibiotic or antimicrobial resistance, you know, among folks as they turn to other solutions. How does H. pylori and the treatment of that and the, you know, the complexity of that, how does that affect this issue, and how can postbiotics possibly step in and meet that market need?
Yes, as you said, antimicrobial resistance, which is a phenomenon that is basically natural to microorganisms such as bacteria, viruses, and fungi. It's a mechanism or phenomenon where they develop over time resistance to the drugs that were previously able to treat them. And that's a natural phenomenon. But the problem is that there are some factors that can accelerate and make this resistance grow and spread faster, such as overuse or misuse of antibiotics for many reasons. For example, misuse could be we don't finish our antibiotic course because we feel better, we stop in the middle. So this kind of misuse. And this antimicrobial resistance over the past 20 years became a global concern, and there's a global action plan around it because microbes are more and more becoming resistant to the antibiotics we have. And that means that our drugs will become less effective over time. So one key part of this global plan is to find ways to protect from the spread of antimicrobial resistant pathogens. And that could also be addressed by maybe finding other ways to manage certain bacterium. And the way in parallel, let's say there's a shift on the health paradigm where we are becoming more aware that there's a role of the microbiome, a central role of the microbiome in overall health, and also in how we stay protected from the spread of bacteria, and especially resistant bacteria. And there's also a lot of focus currently on microbial ecology to understand how our internal ecology in the microbiome can, if we boost it in a way, can help us be protected from these resistant bacteria. And actually, Postbiotics have a great potential to address this topic. For example, as I said in, previously, if we have an example of a postbiotic that helps manage the load of a harmful microorganism like H. pylori in the stomach, then this kind of product, they can shape the microbiome and help it support diversity. That means to have a healthy diversity in the microbiome. And in this way, harmful microorganisms can't or don't colonize, and they don't develop into a health concern. So in this way, postbiotics and biotics in general can have a great potential to help address these antimicrobial resistance.
All right, let's talk about options. I know Novozymes One Health has been doing research in this area. There's a branded ingredient, Pylopass. How does that fit into this category?
Well, Pylopass is actually a preparation of inanimate microorganism, and it confers the health benefit to the host in that way.
Great. And, you know, postbiotics have recently been getting more attention. And I'm wondering, what makes Pylopass unique, and how does it contribute to the whole world of postbiotic products that we're hearing about all of a sudden?
Pylopass works in a safe and highly targeted way to help manage the levels of H. pylori cells in the stomach. And it basically does it by recognizing H. pylori and adhering to it. And then this way it forms a mass with H. pylori cells that is known as coaggregate. And then the coaggregate travels through the gastrointestinal system. And in the end, the coaggregate is washed away. So it's basically a highly targeted and very safe solution to managing this common gastric bacterial concern. And it's also making it in a way that doesn't lead to resistance. And with this coaggregation activity, Pylopass has shown to manage the levels of H. pylori in the stomach, but also it was measured and it was demonstrated that also results in lower discomfort that derived from this gastric inflammation, such as heartburn or feeling of indigestion. It's also important that it's the most researched postbiotic addressing H. pylori, and it has a unique mode of action that is patented. Both technology and process are patented. And it demonstrated efficacy in more than 12 studies across several populations, proving managing the root cause and the symptoms of the upper GI discomfort caused by this very common bacterium found in the stomach.
All right, so let's look at what more about what makes Pylopass so unique. What sets it apart from other postbiotic products on the market?
It's the first and most researched postbiotic in the market targeting H. pylori, and it actually was designed to be highly targeted to that bacterium. It's the mode of action is unique. It works by aggregating with H. pylori and also proven to result in lowering discomfort caused by gastric inflammation. So that's a very unique mode of action. And then it's also important that it was researched in more than 12 clinical trials in different populations across the globe. And in all those clinical trials, it was proven, the efficacy was proven as well as the managing of symptoms of upper GI discomfort caused by this bacterium that we commonly find in the stomach. And from other biotics also, it's important that this is a postbiotic, and postbiotics deliver better stability and longer shelf life. So this is what also sets Pylopass apart of other other biotics in the market.
All right, can you just provide us a quick look at some of the latest research and developments related to Pylopass?
Yes, absolutely. So as mentioned, Pylopass was tested in more than 12 clinical trials across the globe. And if you put all those clinical trials together, We demonstrated several aspects of how Pylopus manages levels of H. pylori. So, of course, it was proven that in those clinical trials that it helps manage the levels of H. pylori in the stomach. Also proven that it reduces stomach and gastrointestinal discomfort related to the bacterium. It also was proven that it contributes to the maintenance of the normal gastric mucosa in the stomach in people with H. pylori, which is super important, and also proven to soothe when having occasional occurrence of diarrhea due to antibiotic use for the treatment of H. pylori.
Thank you. I mean, we learned a lot. Great roundup. Thanks to Novozymes One Health for giving us this information. So for people who want to follow up and get more details, how can they, where can they go?
They can go to our website, www.novozymesonehealth.com. And we have there, of course, a formulary that you can fill in if you want to get in contact with us for more information. And I also recommend to navigate this website. We have a section that is our solutions, and then you can find a lot of information on Pylopus and the research done on this strain.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.